Think about flying in actual instrument meteorological conditions. You're in the clouds somewhere over unfamiliar terrain. Your attitude indicator is a gyroscope telling you which way is up. Your altimeter is telling you your pressure, altitude. Your chart gives you minimum safe altitudes and your approach procedure gives you the floor. Everything outside the windscreen is gray. You are flying on procedure, on published obstacle clearances, on faith that the surveyor who walked that ridge did their job correctly. That's not criticism. That was the entire basis of instrument flying for half a century. I'm Vector on Clear Direct. This is Radio Hangar, and today I want to spend some time on one of the most quietly significant changes to the instrument panel in the last 20 years. Synthetic vision technology. The system that turned your primary flight display into something that looks like a three-dimensional window, even when there's nothing outside but cloud. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo private pilot instrument-rated CFI. The whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. AviationSoul.com. Synthetic vision technology, which you will hear called SVT across the industry. Sounds like it belongs in a fighter jet, and honestly, the conceptual roots are not far removed from there. The engineering premise is clean. You know precisely where your airplane is in three-dimensional space because GPS tells you. You have a database that contains the elevation of every significant piece of terrain and man-made obstacle across most of the navigable world. And you have an attitude and heading reference system that knows your pitch, roll, and heading in real time. Feed those three inputs into a graphics processor. Calculate what the terrain looks like from your position and attitude. Render it as a perspective view from the pilot's eye point. Overlay it behind the aircraft symbol on the primary flight display. Suddenly, where a plain blue and brown attitude indicator used to be, you're looking at a three-dimensional landscape, a hillside, a valley between two ridgelines, a mountain peak your procedures say to stay 500 feet above, and now you can see it, drawn in green and brown, accurately positioned relative to your aircraft, moving in real time as you move. That is synthetic vision, not a radar return, not an audio terrain warning, a continuous position-stabilized picture of the terrain your airplane is moving through. Even in solid instrument conditions, even at night, even over terrain you have never flown before. Here's what most people miss about how SVT actually works, and this matters. It is not a camera, there is no sensor looking down at the ground. Nothing on your airplane is observing the terrain below you. The entire image is generated from a database and a GPS position. If the database is wrong, the picture is wrong. If the GPS position is wrong, the picture is wrong. The real world and the synthetic picture can be mismatched in ways that will not announce themselves. We will come back to that. The research history behind this technology is worth knowing, because it explains why SVT exists and why it became a priority. NASA's Langley Research Center was doing serious simulation work on synthetic terrain display concepts through the 1990s as part of the agency's aviation safety program. The problem they were trying to address had a name: controlled flight into terrain, or CFIT. CFIT was the dominant cause of fatal accidents in commercial aviation through the 1980s and 1990s. The pattern is specific and brutal. The airplane is mechanically sound, the engines are running, the crew is alive and at the controls. And the aircraft flies straight into terrain because the crew could not see what was there, and did not fully account for what the numbers on their instruments were telling them. CFIT killed more people in that era than any other accident category in commercial aviation. The industry's first major response was the Ground Proximity Warning System, or GPWS. Developed in the early 1970s, GPWS monitored radio altimeter data and flight parameters to detect when an aircraft was in one of several classic CFIT configurations and triggered a voice alert: pull up terrain, pull up. Those warnings saved lives, and the data supported that. Then came Enhanced GPWS, or EGPWS, which Honeywell developed and certified in the early 1990s. EGPWS added a terrain database and GPS position to project a look-ahead warning rather than just reacting to current conditions. It could see that you were flying toward a ridge before you were immediately upon it. That was a meaningful step forward. But an alert is still reactive. It tells you what you are near. NASA's research question was different. What if pilots could see the terrain continuously? Not just when they were dangerously close to it, but at all times with the same spatial clarity they had when they could look outside and see the ground. The simulation data was compelling. Pilots with a synthetic terrain display caught developing CFIT scenarios earlier, corrected them more smoothly, and showed less startle response behavior compared to pilots relying on audio alerting alone. The picture was more intuitive than the warning. Humans process visual spatial information faster than they process an audio alert and convert it into a mental model of where the ground is. That research informed the push toward bringing SVT into certified aviation. Avidyne Corporation was the first company to bring a synthetic vision primary flight display to certified production aircraft in the United States in a meaningful way. Their Integra integrated avionics system began appearing in production Cirrus aircraft around 2002 and 2003. The Integra included a synthetic terrain background on the attitude indicator, showing the three-dimensional terrain picture behind the aircraft symbol as a standard feature of the primary flight display. If you trained in a Cirrus SR-20 or SR-22 in the last 15 years, you may not fully appreciate what that primary flight display represented. Before it, a student learning instrument flying in actual instrument meteorological conditions had no visual reference to terrain at all, beyond the altimeter, the approach chart, and the minimum safe altitudes printed on their sectional. Garmin followed with the G1000, which became the dominant factory avionics package in new production Cessna, Piper, and Beechcraft aircraft through the mid-2000s. Synthetic vision was initially an option on the G1000 and then gradually became standard across the line. Garmin's partnership with Cessna to equip the new Cessna 172 and 182 production aircraft with the G1000 was the deployment that put synthetic vision in front of the largest number of student and private pilots simply by volume. Today on Garmin's G3X Touch, which is the dominant avionics choice for experimental home-built aircraft, synthetic vision is enabled essentially by default in the initial configuration setup. The technology has gone from a research concept to a standard cockpit feature in about 20 years. What does the safety record actually show? The honest answer is that isolating the specific effect of SVT on accident rates is genuinely difficult. Synthetic vision arrived alongside a package of other improvements during the same period. Glass cockpits became widespread. Autopilot integration improved, EGPWS penetration in general aviation grew, attributing accident reduction to any single technology requires careful statistical work that accounts for all of those variables simultaneously. What the data from the National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, does show is a meaningful decline in CFIT accidents in general aviation across the period when SVT adoption was growing. The General Aviation Joint Steering Committee, which brings together the Federal Aviation Administration, the NTSB, aircraft manufacturers, avionics companies, and pilot advocacy groups, identified reduced CFIT accidents as a genuine trend and cited improved situational awareness technology as a contributing factor in multiple annual reports. There are also individual accident investigations in the NTSB record that illustrate the technology's value. Cases where a pilot, flying in instrument conditions at night over rising terrain, recognized the proximity issue from the synthetic terrain picture and climbed in time. Scenarios that in a pre-SVT world would have fit the classic CFIT pattern, and there are cases where SVT was present and the pilot flew into terrain anyway. Those matter too because they reveal what the technology cannot do on its own. Let's talk about the limitations, because this is where the engineering gets honest. The terrain database is the foundation of everything. Garmin and other avionics manufacturers build their terrain databases from several data sources, the most significant of which is data originally derived from the NASA Shuttle Radar Topography Mission, flown in 2000. That mission was an 11-day space shuttle flight specifically designed to produce the most comprehensive global terrain elevation dataset ever collected. The radar interferometry data from that mission became the baseline for civilian terrain databases worldwide. In the continental United States, the terrain database in a modern certified avionics system is very good, accurate to within tens of feet for terrain elevation in most areas. But accurate enough is not the same as perfect. Remote terrain in Alaska, portions of Central and South America, and areas outside the primary survey coverage can have lower resolution. A ridgeline might be positioned in the database at a slightly different elevation or location than it sits in reality. Man-made obstacles are a specific and ongoing vulnerability. Wind turbines have proliferated dramatically across the central plains of the United States in the last 15 years. New cell towers and communication towers go up continuously across rural areas. Construction cranes operate on building sites for months at a time. These structures can stand 300, 400, or 500 feet above ground level. The obstacle database is updated through the FAA obstacle reporting system, which requires the structure to be noticed, the paperwork to be filed, and the data to be processed and published in the next database cycle. There is always a lag. A wind turbine farm that went operational 8 months ago may still be partially absent from your current obstacle database. The synthetic terrain picture will show open airspace where a 400-foot turbine stands. GPS integrity is the second major structural limitation. Synthetic vision depends entirely on a valid GPS position. For most of the technology's operational history, GPS reliability was such a strong assumption that it barely warranted discussion. That assumption is now worth revisiting. Near conflict zones across Eastern Europe and the Middle East, GPS jamming events are common enough that the FAA and Eurocontrol issue notices to airmen about them routinely. Spoofing events, where a receiver is fed a fabricated GPS signal that reports a false position, are the more insidious problem for synthetic vision. Specifically, a spoofed position generates a completely coherent synthetic terrain picture drawn from the wrong location. The picture looks normal. The terrain appears correctly rendered, correctly positioned, moving correctly as the aircraft moves. It is drawn from a position that is not where the airplane actually is. The system will not alert you that the picture is wrong. It will continue to render confidently. This is not a reason to distrust synthetic vision as a tool. It is a reason to understand exactly what it is and what it depends on, so that when those dependencies are challenged, you're not surprised. The deeper human factors question is the one the training community is actively wrestling with, and I want to spend a moment on it because Vector does not like to skip the uncomfortable parts. Synthetic vision makes instrument flying feel more intuitive. The attitude display with the terrain picture is easier to interpret spatially than the plain blue and brown gyro horizon. The sense of where the ground is relative to your airplane is continuous and visual, rather than abstract and calculated. For pilots who fly infrequently in actual instrument conditions, for pilots rebuilding currency after a gap, for student pilots learning instrument procedures for the first time, SVT reduces cognitive workload at exactly the moment when cognitive workload is already high. That is a genuine, documented, research-supported benefit. The concern is the other side of that same coin. Pilots who have trained primarily on avionics with synthetic vision may have developed a different level of proficiency with the raw instrument scan than pilots who trained without it. The partial panel scan, which has been a core instrument training element for 50 years, requires a pilot to accurately derive attitude, heading, and rate information from the altimeter, airspeed indicator, and turn coordinator when the attitude indicator fails. It is a skill that degrades without regular practice. If a pilot's formative instrument hours were spent with a continuous terrain picture and an attitude display that felt like a natural visual view of the world outside, the cognitive reflex of the raw scan may simply be less developed. Put that pilot in front of a panel where the synthetic vision has failed or is unavailable, and the transition to raw instrument reference may be harder than it would have been for someone who trained without the picture. The FAA, the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, and several university aviation programs have raised this as a structured concern in publications over the last decade. It is not alarmist. It is an honest recognition that every tool we add to the cockpit reshapes the skills that develop around it. Commercial aviation learned this with autopilot. General aviation is learning it now with synthetic vision. The answer is not to avoid SVT. The answer is to ensure that partial panel work and raw instrument scan remain serious training priorities even for pilots who will fly with SVT for their entire careers. Where does the technology go from here? Garmin has been evolving SVT toward a pathway depiction feature, sometimes called Highway in the Sky, which draws a three-dimensional corridor on the synthetic view, showing the pilot exactly where the approach or flight plan path goes in space. You fly the airplane into a sequence of boxes rendered directly on the primary flight display. Research data suggests this simplifies approach tracking, particularly for pilots who do not fly approaches with high frequency. Whether pathway depiction helps or whether it creates another layer of picture dependency that pilots need to be weaned from periodically is a legitimate ongoing debate. Honeywell's Anthem Avionics Architecture, aimed at business jets and regional aircraft, takes SVT integration further by connecting the terrain picture to real-time weather overlay data and traffic. The terrain picture becomes a continuously updated operational picture rather than a static database rendering. That vision, a live connected cockpit picture that integrates terrain, weather, traffic, and airport environment simultaneously, is where the commercial avionics roadmap points. The underlying engineering truth does not change as the system gets richer. Synthetic vision is a database-dependent, GPS-dependent system with specific failure modes that will not announce themselves. The rendering is only as accurate as the data behind it. The GPS position is only as valid as the signal is clean. The picture on your primary flight display is not a window into the world outside. It is a model of the world, built from reliable data, cross-checked continuously, rendered in real time. When the model is right, which is the vast majority of the time, synthetic vision is one of the genuinely useful tools ever added to the general aviation cockpit. The CFIT trends support that. The human factors research supports that. Knowing when the model might not be right is what separates a pilot who uses SVT well from a pilot who just watches the picture. Information for this segment came from NASA, Langley Research Center, Aviation Safety Research, the National Transportation Safety Board Accident Database, published avionics documentation from Garmin and Avidyne, and the General Aviation Joint Steering Committee's annual safety reports. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. Fly the instruments, not just the picture.